thank you for this feast, the feast of new wines, wines upon the lees, the wines that are well refined. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Lord, you're the master. You are the teacher. You are the curriculum. Yet you are the teacher. You are what we want to learn, and the one that will teach us. For you have promised that the Spirit will receive of you and reveal unto us. Lord, we ask, O God, that this moment will not be lost on our journey. That you will reach right into our heart and cultivate for yourself a field where you will get an harvest. Thank you because you hear us always. And for we are prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please take your seat comfortably. Thank you for that wonderful rendition. God bless you. Make somebody welcome to church again. It's rewarding when we gather before the Lord. This was the atmosphere. I just try to imagine the atmosphere in the Acts of Apostles. Even though the civilization of that day is definitely not like what we have today. But God is still the same. All right. The strength of His throne is consistency. God is the same. It doesn't change. And may God build us to the place where we can be very consistent. Where we can be very consistent. When we are not up today and down tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. So God is so consistent. God is so the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we trust the Lord that the same result that they got in the Acts of Apostles, when they gathered daily, we trust the Lord that God will make it available to us today. You're tired of saying amen, definitely. Maybe you want your amen to be directly proportional to the level of my voice. So if I say shall, then you shall. So just say amen in a comfortable manner that describes agreement. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Give me an Easterner amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, okay, somebody just gave me the scripture. Wow, it's not the same person. You are in the spirit. So you'll be ahead of me. Just follow me so that you won't be too far and I'll be chasing you. All right. So the scripture says, so continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. There was no big man in that atmosphere. Everybody was just enjoying God. The common denominator was they were all seeking Jesus. So it won't be like, I've not changed my hair. It's the same hair I've been carrying. Those were not the issues then. Like those issues you have now. I've been carrying the same hair. I don't think I want to come like this next week. Forget. Let me tell somebody, forget about that. Carry what you can carry. Come and enjoy Jesus. Come and enjoy Jesus. However, I pray the Lord will give you money to look good. Amen. I know at that point you will generate a big amen. So the scripture says they continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So we have gathering in the temple and gathering from house to house. Do you have the same here? This is temple. Do you have house to house? Do you break bread house to house? Come on, clap for yourself. You know, I remembered. I told you sometimes when I was pastoring. I was pastor. I know of glory homes, but I don't know if you feast in your homes. So those days while I was pastoring, we grilled the church with breaking bread from house to house. And I remember one of our hosts was one man that was not very rich among us. He was a policeman. And he came to meet me and said, I said, it's your turn. You are hosting us. It was a small church. We were not up to 150. So, but if you say we are coming to your house, you'll be jittery. Because everywhere will be full. Sometimes we'll help you get a canopy around your house. Then you give us ogbono, semo, you know, whatever wonder you can make available. So everybody will sit down and eat with you. And we'll just pray with you. Then you bring your friends around the neighborhood. Then they will say, which kind of church be this one? And I remember they came to me then and I said, Pastor, make another person take this turn. I never ready. So I was the one that helped him to organize brethren who brought money. And some people even fried chicken and brought it. So what a communion. There is something about food. And one day I'll come here and teach about communion and food. The trouble in the earth started with food. When Jesus was going, he gave us a legacy. He said, I will come and eat this with you in my Father's kingdom. So don't joke with eating. That's for another day. So some of you can eat semo here and you'll be healed. Seriously. And they did this with gladness. Now, it's not the food, it's the spirit of brotherhood and fellowship that is amongst them that fosters the experiences they had. And the scripture says in the next verse that praising God. See, there is no way that you live with this spirit of community and praises will not be organic. You know why you are betting songs more regularly? You have a true community spirit. Everybody just want to praise God. So you won't be in want. There is no way you want to be a vessel of his glory. And he won't make supplies available. Why should you lack songs? But if it is that we want to come and outdo one another in the next choir. I will sing. I'll do them. I'll go and rehearse Ellen Baylor. I don't know who are the... Those days, Ellen Baylor was the... Some of you don't even know Ellen Baylor. So you rehearse, you want to come and show your action. No, no, that's not the spirit. The spirit is we have a community of believers who get together to see Jesus. And once you have that spirit, it fosters gladness. One heart, one mind, one accord. Then God invests there. For there the Lord commands his blessings. That's where God does not just put his investment in any place. God is wise. He doesn't just invest in anything. When you are ready, he makes investment. And the Bible said they were praising God. And one important thing that is a prophetic word of note is that they were having favors. Raise your right hand up. For every hand that is raised here tonight, I connect you with favor. Yeah. Everywhere you go. Having favor with all the people. You become attractive. You become productive. You cannot be ignored. I speak over you. You are the preferred. You are ahead of them in the interviews. You are more excellent than your equal. You are the ones that the scripture called 10 times better. Favor is very loud in your appearance. It's very loud at the mention of your name. Even at the side of your countenance. In Jesus' mighty name. Put that hand upon your head. It is yours. In Jesus' mighty name. I'll spend a few times with my teachings of faith, just like you have requested. Even though I'm a very deep listener. When I listen, you drive me to what you are saying. Just like what my daddy in the Lord just did now. You know, he was just speaking like my daddy in the Lord. If you don't have daddy in the Lord, just adopt Obi. Obi is the stature of a daddy. If he talks to you and you don't change, then you are a candidate of the other side. I'm telling you. There is no way Obi can be mentoring you and you are crazy. There is no way. Now I know what you are enjoying. Now I know why your head is calm. You cannot be the wife of this gentleman and you are, because he can't even fight. It's obvious. It's not like me that when you bring it, I say, so what do you? Please celebrate this man of God. Amen. Can we unanimously with one voice say, Pastor Obi, we love you. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. Really. Okay, please say it to Pastor Zach. Because the way he's beginning to say, we love you, it's like he said, we give it to you. Don't worry. Okay, let's get down to business, all right? One night I woke up and I took my pen and drew a line. And I looked at the line, two sides, and that is what life is. Life is a line drawn with two sides. There are two experiences always. Because that was the first thing God did. Can I talk to you this night? So listen carefully. So I drew the line. I began to write things on this side, the opposite on the other side. And do you know, I couldn't exhaust. I was just writing and writing and writing. And the demarcation is exactly what God did in the beginning. Everything you find opposite to each other are as a result of what God did in the beginning. And God divided the light from the darkness. That's all. Separation. You see, one of the hallmark of maturity is for you to come to a place where you can have clear separation. Moses, when he was of age, you remember how Hebrew put it? The writer of Hebrew said, and Moses, when he was of age, chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was separation. Your maturity takes you to a point where you know not the knowledge of good and evil. It's knowledge of good from evil. You separate. It's not when you can romance the two. Thou lovest righteousness and hate. That's when you have matured. When you have not matured, you are in blindness. And that blindness is the knowledge of good and evil. You can accommodate the two. In the morning, you will be in the Holy Ghost tongues. In the evening, you'll be singing raga. Because it's not separated. And Jesus said, this is the carnal nature. Neither hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth. So God wants to nurture us to a point where our hearts can begin to do separation, actual separation. And we belong to one side, and we are consistently on one side. All right? And there is these things I'm talking about are art issues. Art. The spring of all our experiences in the spirit is the heart. You see, the preacher said in Proverbs, guard your heart. Somewhere in Proverbs, what? 4, right? 420. Good students of God's word. Guard your heart above all things, for out of it comes the issues. The word issue there is spring. That's where life springs from. Your experience springs from your heart. Issues of faith is heart-based. Wisdom, heart-based. So, let me start by telling you so that I don't go too far before I go right into where I need to go. So, the issues of faith has to do with when you are in touch with the realities in your heart. Are you ready to journey with me? So, the just shall live by his faith. And you see, this reality I'm talking about, the reality that you want to be in touch with, the reality in the inward part, which is also substantiated as wisdom. When you are in touch with it, when you are acting in response to the reality, collective reality of your inward person, it is called an action of faith. That what brings that spring is the word of the Lord. The resource that brings that reality, the components are so typically divine. The Spirit, the Word, gives you an inward reality that is superior to what is in your head. Oh, come on. Are you coming with me this evening? And my teaching of faith is different. Because my teaching of faith is, oh, say it and you have it. No. My teaching of faith will mean that it is the basis of your holiness and righteousness. Because you are in touch with reality. That's why I say, whatsoever is not done in of faith is sin. Because you are in touch with the real reality. And you are acting in response to the reality you are in touch with. And it's also the same that affects what you call your miracles. I was preaching in Port Harcourt and I was making an analogy with a woman with the issue of blood. Somebody said she must have heard the word. What word did she hear? Who touched the hem of anybody's garment and got ill before? Who was the woman's reference? But she was in touch with the reality. And she was sure. Come on. Where did it come from? The spirit. Some of you would have been better than this if you had been responding to promptings. Genuine promptings of the spirit. You would have even changed the job. But because it's not reasonable for you to take a letter and write a resignation, when the reality was real, you were really in touch with the reality of the inward, but you ignored it. Okay. So I was teaching in Port Harcourt and I was showing them Mark 5. Yes. Okay, let's read Mark 5. I'm going to be brief tonight, but I'd like us to pray. Mark chapter number 5 and verse 25. So let's enjoy the story again. It won't take time. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And I suffered many things from many physicians. She was checking her head for so long, trying out things. Her head. Somebody say head. Not heart. Because the head keeps knowledge and has enough references. So the head will tell you there is a guy living in Samaria. And how much does she consult with? Then you, I think I'm good to go. Then you go there, then the guy knows, this is a special case. I think I should refer you to an oncologist. And she said, oncologist again? But somebody said, I should come see you. And say, this case seems like we need two consultants to, maybe a surgeon has to accompany an oncologist. Because these things are flying from head to head. They're all head knowledge. These things are not faith-based. And she kept going until one day the Holy Ghost helped her. She suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. Just like Peter someday had used all the time that was appropriate for fishing and there was no result. Then somebody came and was bringing him in touch with reality. And this woman's case, I meditated on it over and again. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment. For she said, where did that invention come? Where did it come from? May God take you there. Yeah. When you just know what to do. Yeah. How do you know? I can't explain. I have the Holy Ghost. Here, I have the Holy Ghost. Have you seen it done that way before? I have the Holy Ghost. So she said, and see where I'm going. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. It's a shall. When you use shall in court, is a statement of Fact. Let me doff my cap for the lawyers. When you say shall, when you are writing an agreement and you are putting shall, it is not by chance. It is not what to be negotiated. Am I right? So he said, if I may touch his cloth, I shall. The touch is me. But as soon as I touch, I shall. The move, this is a guaranteed move. And she didn't get it from a pastor. She didn't even get a prophetic word. Can you get your prophetic word right from your inside? May the Holy Ghost take you there. Where your prophetic word is coming from your well, from your spring. Somebody speak in the spirit for a while. There is a well of life in your inside. You must be in touch with it. You must be in touch with it. You must be in touch with it. When you're in touch with it, you can't be stranded. When you're in touch with it, you can't be helpless. When you're in touch with it, the trouble will end. Yes, you have to be in touch with that reality. Oh my God, on the inside. For out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. Arosapeko farabate. Elikopaselabatondoboyoko. As you are hearing that sound, let your faith arise. Let the quality of life you are living change. Yes. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Just like when you are making the move of obedience. You know, I don't argue with convictions again. You remember one day, I was right. And you know how we talk. And I was driving away and I told you, the Lord said I should go and beg my wife. And I called you. And I said, I have to go and beg. And I'm sure you were looking at me like, is he okay? Is he crazy? Because I was in touch with reality. And I knew. Where do you fetch your actions from? One of the troubles is that we know too much. So this woman has said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. This is abnormal. You touch, you are with blood, you touch a man, you make the man unclean. She was living in the power of the age to come. She was not living in her time. She was already operating New Testament principle. And I'm sure the Holy Ghost will make that supply available. So she did it quietly. You know, there are some testimonies you don't come out to give. Sometimes ago, I was in Israel and a lady got ill and she just kept saying, Pastor, God has done something. She couldn't tell me. Because it has some social stigma attached to it. So she couldn't talk. I just thought I got to Lagos. She found a way of collecting my account details. I was sending money. And I said, hey, why are you sending money? Because the money she sent was huge. And I said, what is this? From where to where? I said, Pastor, hey, God is good, oh. In fact, I don't know. You remember that day that I tapped you and I said, I will tell you something, but God help me so that I can tell you. That thing happened. It was to me like film. It has happened. That was exactly what happened to this woman. She couldn't tap somebody and say, hey, do you know I just got healed? With my issue of blood. Hey, your issue of, hey, arrest him or arrest her. So she got her thing and was going to, Lord, I thank you. Sorry I didn't give testimony, but it's okay like that. I will give the angels testimony. Then Jesus said, no, we won't let her go. Wow. Then Jesus said, somebody touch me. That was another dilemma. Because everybody had touched Jesus. Who will be around that will not want to hug Jesus? You see, it is not every move that is purposeful move. Some moves are casual moves. Then somebody touched me and Peter said, why do you make mystery out of everything? Okay, maybe you should say you touched somebody. Because that one, we can agree. Because there's a way you touch people. But that people touch you, contact don't happen here. Plenty contact. Even me, I just touch you. I can't even remember how many times I touch you. You know, those days, the men of God don't have bouncers around them. It was difficult for them to move. This day, you can't propose in your heart and touch the garment. You can't. It won't work. It won't work. I was somewhere to preach, and the people that received me in the airport, I said, I called the pastor, are they DSS? The way they were dressed, I said, are there kidnappers in town? Why would I be disguarded? You can't touch me in that, even if you are proposing your heart. to even see me in counseling, you will go through protocol. Not to touch me. But in days of Jesus, Jesus was maybe he was safer then. Maybe there are not so much of evil minds then. So I can help our protocols of today. But Jesus said, somebody touch me. Why? Because it was a purposeful touch that drew power from heaven. The woman knew the power spot. Every other person saw the garment of Jesus as silk. She saw it as a conductor of power, of electricity. Said, the power I need is here. If I touch it, I will get the flow. And my question is, who revealed this? It wasn't vain imagination. You know, somebody could have done it and it's vain imagination. The distinction is, where is your thought coming from? Is it a supply coming from the Spirit? Is it regarded as the word of the Lord? Have you taken care of your heart to a point where you can have a download without reference? Without you remembering somebody did it before? Where did David hear it from that he should go and build a temple? Because it had always been tent. The ark had always been under tent. And God approved of it. To the extent that today, we do not even remember the tent of Moses again. We now talk about the tabernacle of David. Because David just drew that from the heart of God. It was a move of faith. The most powerful prophetic moves are moves of faith. How? I remember the first time I ever healed the sick openly. I was ever used to heal the sick openly. It was a crippled girl who never walked. I think I've mentioned it here before. And I didn't know what to do. I was just being a preacher boy telling people, Bring your cases tomorrow. Tomorrow, the power of God will move here. It was on an open. The power of God will be everywhere. And this woman brought this girl. From the time I was coming from the back where we were praying. Because when we were running the crusade, people would pray throughout the crusade. As I was coming, she has never walked. I was hearing it. I carried my ears. Because I was only boasting about Jesus. I'd never been there. Then she became a nuisance. There were no ushers to stop her. She was just saying, Jesus, help me, my baby. Then at some point, she brought her close to the altar. And I said, bring her on. I said, leave her there so that I can quench the distraction. I said, just leave her there. At least if I finish the message, I'll pray and go. It is Jesus that heals. I only advertise for Jesus. But at some point, I just felt a prompting. Nobody took me to school of healing, how to do it. I just felt the prompting, and I carried my jacket and wrapped her. Then the girl stood. Then my confidence jumped to her. Then I said, leave her, don't touch her. She just stood, she walked. Come on, I walk. Come on, her. Come on. And that was the end of my message. If you want to give your life to Jesus, see the wonders of Jesus. If you have anything, I started mentioning cases, anything. Oh, may you fetch realities from your hands. Huh? That's how you break down mountains and beat them small. In Ala Quarters, Akure, that was where we had a crusade. And since then, I'd learned to know that Jesus heals. So Jesus said, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, because Jesus was also in touch with reality inside. The touch was not an external touch. I saw how deep Jesus was to the extent that when virtue leaves, he knows. And that's the calling, that's where he called us into. Where you can be so aware that you are not just mentally conscious, but you're spiritually aware. Are we still here? Where if a strange atmosphere enters into your room, you can pick it. Who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked unto and looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, and you know why she was afraid, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. So that's faith. What do we call it? How many of you want to walk in that dimension of faith? When the Spirit is bringing a reality within you and you are responding, you are walking in faith. Obedience to the promptings of the Spirit. That's why the preacher said, we walk by faith and not by sight. May you live to a point where your reality is beyond your eyes. Why we look not on things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Your consideration must always be deeper. Your consideration must be word of the Lord based. And when I'm saying word of the Lord, most of the time you will reduce it to our recitations. The word of the Lord is dynamic. When this word comes to you, it begins to go through processes in you until it becomes truth. Another word for reality is truth, is reality. It generates reality in you. You just know. Hey, are you here? They wanted to hit the Passover. And they came to Jesus, Jesus, where are we going to eat the Passover? And he said to them, okay, go to the city. You meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. He'll meet you on the road. Tell him to take you to the house and he'll show you an upper room. Did he make a call to the man carrying the pitcher? These are higher levels of faith work. When you will come to rest. You hear him? Oh, this is what he meant when he said greater works than this you will do. Some people are saying he's always speaking abstract. This is not abstract. This is reality. He said to Peter, go get fish. There's a fish there that just swallowed a golden coin. Say, use an hook. Don't use a net. It's not plenty fishes you need to catch. It's just the first fish. Even as you are going there, this fish will be swimming to your hook. It's a new order of life. Being obedient. When you learn these ones, you learn to obey God. Sin will not be attractive again. Because you know every obedience is rewarding. Let me. This is so important to Jesus. Your faith. Are you blessed? Because of your time, I'll close with this. You know, I watched Jesus while he was setting up the ecclesia before he left. While he was setting up the ecclesia, he was giving power to the apostles. He was setting them, and he told me, as I told them, as my Father has given me a kingdom, so do I give you a kingdom, and behold, in that day you'll be upon thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He was beginning to tell them where their life was going to. But he knew that it wasn't going to be easy, that the devil will fight tooth and nail. And as he was describing what will happen, give me from Luke account is also good. Luke account is good. I wanted to use Matthew account, but let's use Luke account. And I bestow upon you a kingdom. Now that kingdom is not geography; it was actually giving them divine authorities. It was allotting to them portions of dominion. It was giving them capacity as it was living. He said, as my Father has bestowed upon me a kingdom. So kingdom is not just talking about a king and his domain. It's also talking about authority. It talks about royal power. That was exactly what he was discussing there. So sometimes when you are saying that kingdom come, you are not just talking about a future thing. You are asking the Lord to give unto you capacity to to act as he decided for you from the beginning, for his original intent, that he may have dominion. Kingdom has always been his agenda from the onset. And as he was saying that to his disciples, you know what happened? He quickly stopped and said, Peter, Peter. As I'm setting up this, the enemy already knows where I'm going and is going to fight. And this guy you're going to fight is an old fool. He's been around for a while. Your mental capacity can't handle him. That's why he swindles you sometimes. And you fall. Oh, and the scripture says, the righteous fall seven times. Let me crack my joke again. I remember those days, I told my friend, we used to pray. We used to be prayer partners. We were young believers. So he said he fell. He said, I fell into sin. So he came, we were praying. I said, come, wait, oh, how many times have you fallen now? I said, it's seven times that is our chance. Oh. He said, me, my own go down reach like four. Ah, I said, thank God, my own never pass like two. So my picture then was the righteous for seven. After seven times, he closes the chapter. So we have grown in knowledge, really. So you can imagine that I've been in a place where I was thinking that way. And he knows, Jesus knows that this Satan is smart. So he told, he was telling Peter, I'm not just telling you guys story. I'm prepared spiritually. I've even invested in intercession. Stand on your feet so that I can close. So I'm going to read you through true prayers. He said, I've invested in intercession. He said, Satan has sought to have you and sit you have weak. But I have prayed for you. And what is my prayer? That your faith shall not. God is so protective of this faith factor. Because it's your living. Now, the question is, he actually fell. But his faith did not fail. That's why we don't throw away everybody that fell. The faith will be the connecting point for repentance, for conversion. There is a residual, there is something. There is something that connects you to a reality that makes you sorry sometimes. When it's gone, you can't be sorry again. It's called your faith. When it's gone, you start feeling right about your wrong position. You have no faith anymore. If I do the thing, go ahead. Faith is gone. So when Jesus saw that this man will fall, all he was invested was praying for guard his faith. Father, guard his faith. Because Peter did not know that fall was inevitable. There are situations that even Jesus knows you can't undo. I pray that your faith should not fail. And when you are returned to me, strengthen your brethren. The next verse. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, but to prison and death. And Jesus said, I'm not trying to admonish you to take a stand. I have gone past that level. We have surveyed everything to make you stand that day. We have seen that you may not really be able to. So Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, hey, wait, Peter. The rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. Three. This day that you are saying I will die, I will go to prison. This day. Not next week. Oh. And I'm sure Peter would have looked at him and said, what's this man of God saying? But he said, my own business is We are protective of your faith. It must not die. It's the substance that keeps you alive. It must not die. Look at somebody's face. It must not die. Said, I prayed for you. And I want us to pray. I want us to pray. You are going to hold somebody's hand. Lord, have mercy. Our faith must not fail. You know how beautiful life would be if we can connect to the reality on the inside. Say, Father, our faith must not fail. Lift your voice again. Say it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cry before you. Our faith must not fail. Open your mouth and pray for 2 minutes. Mana sopara. Ela boshanda barukate. Hello, Sana Montelli. Hello, Shana Monsira Botana. Ali Borabi Hasela Betana Monsha. Hello, Silamano Mansu. So wide-eyed, mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. Wide-eyed, mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder. May we never, never lose the wonder. Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter number 51. I'd like us to read together the words of Psalm chapter number 51. I'm going to read from verse 6. From verse 6. Give me from verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know. Hey, there is something called make me to know. It's not with you. You will make me to know wisdom. Give me the capacity for wisdom. Now, wisdom is an end. Faith is an end. Truth produces wisdom. Truth produces faith. It's in the inward part. It's not a product of your recitation. You will make me to know. And give me the next verse. Purge me with hyssop. God must deal with our heart for our fountains to be pure, for us to be able. You know, I told you when I was starting to preach, draw a line, let there be separation. The fountains of my inward part must produce the substances that fosters true living. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. This is David's prayer. And verse 8. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Who do you think engineers those words that are realities in you that you cannot refer to as somebody's experience, but it's what you are doing? It is the Holy Spirit. Now, the faith I preach is always sourced from the Holy Ghost. It begins at the bedrock of our actions. And that's our faith. Ooh, sometimes he says things you have not ever heard anything say before. But if your heart is polluted, you can't hear it. So he said, purge me. He said, cleanse me. Wash me with hyssop. He said, Lord, help my heart. I don't know who is saying, Lord, help my heart tonight. I don't know who is saying, Lord, help my heart tonight. You know? Pastor was talking about folly the other time. You need to say to God, make me to know. Make me to know. Make me to know. Where did that woman hear it from that she should carry an expensive oil and pour it? Huh? Was there a reference? Who did it before? In fact, to everybody around it was folly. Now, let me say this. You know, Pastor was telling us, walk circumspectly. But Paul had to say, not as fools, but as wise. Because you can be careful and fool. You can be circumspectly foolish. You can be carefully foolish. The guys who condemned that lady breaking the expensive oil were walking in folly. And general supply of the idea they brought was wisdom for all. Because it is reasonable to sell that in and feed the poor. But before God, it was not the agenda of the hour. The agenda of the hour is wisdom. And the action of the woman was faith. Even though it was not in tandem with popular opinion. Where did she get it from? The Holy Ghost supplied it. The instructions were supplies of the Holy Ghost. And she was confident to do it. She broke it all the same. She broke it anyway. She broke it anyhow. Not minding whose ox is good. Not minding who felt bad about it. But at the end of the day, she was accepted of the Lord. And the Lord said, wherever the gospel is being preached, this woman shall have a memorial. She earned for herself an eternal memorial by responding to the prompting of the Spirit. Oh, she became that wonder. She walked into corridors of men that will never be forgotten for their generation. There is a chance you have in time, even as you live now, to have responses that are adequate to the Spirit of the Lord that is inside of you. May the Spirit of the Lord not just be inside you only to speak in new tongues. May you have connection to reality, the reality that is deposited in you. May you have connection and have a journey of faith and faith indeed. Why do you think some men refused deliverance? They were in touch with the reality. Why do you think some men chose to be with where they were? They were in touch with some reality. Why do you feel somebody left a BSc a certificate and went to Coma Hills to go and be a missionary? She was in touch with the reality. She wasn't hearing what the generals are hearing. She was hearing from her heart. The Spirit of the Lord inside you has something to say, as a prompting that leads you, as a journey you must undertake, as a life you must live. You must be in touch with reality. So So let's pray the prayer of David again. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Cleanse my heart. Make it tidy for the Spirit. Mighty name we pray. Hold somebody's hand again. And on this stand, on this place we stand, in this place we stand to say, Lord, our faith will not fail. Humbly just keep saying it, Lord, help us. Our faith will not fail. Our faith will not fail. Our faith will not fail. Help me, help my brother. Help me, help my brother. Help me, help my brother. When the faith fails, the journey ends. Help me, help my brother. 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 Irosalebotana. Help my sister. Help my brother. Help this family. Make us a family of faith. Woo! Make us instruments of your wonders. Oh, yes, Lord. Let's sing that song one more time. Wide-eyed and mystified.
Wide-eyed, mystified. May we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of a king.
Say it again, wide-eyed and mystified.
Wide-eyed and mystified.
May I be just like a child.
Be just like a child.
Staring at the beauty of a king. May we never lose our wonder.
I love to walk in your way. I love to walk in your path. You
You are beautiful in all your ways. You are beautiful in all your ways. Why we look not on the things that are seen? For the things that are seen are temporal. For the things that are unseen are eternal. Lord, we come before you by the help of your Spirit. Help us always to be in touch with your realities. Thank you for answering our prayer. Celebrate Jesus for tonight.